Lord, I pray a blessing over Mike today. I ask you to give him clarity and understanding something of your heart, Lord. And give us ears to hear, O Father, and receive the good things that you have for us. Thank you, Lord. Just give Mike courage. And this is an incredible opportunity, Father, just to lift up your great name. And that's all we want to do today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, Mike. Yeah.
So actually what I said was, well, how am I supposed to compete with a baby dedication? That was my thought this morning. But you know, then I sat back there and I heard Tim's blessing on that little one. And I realized that just once again, God set the stage for what he had put on my heart to share with you 3-4 weeks ago. When did you decide to have a baby dedication, Tim? It's incredible how God works. I have a question for you this morning. What is your purpose? Do you know what it is? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you, God, for the breath of life. Thank you that each one of us is loved. Each one of us is created uniquely for a purpose. Each one of us is different. There's no one like any of us, Lord. Each of us is uniquely loved, has a unique purpose, a unique calling. Father, may you give us boldness and clarity and vision, Lord, to walk in what you've called us to. You know, life is one long string of choices. Choose wisely, as each choice, no matter how seemingly small, will alter the trajectory and the fulfillment of your life. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2 says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Not that Jesus disregarded the shame. In fact, he counted it so much that he sweat like drops of blood. But he just didn't count it enough to keep him from fulfilling his purpose. What is your purpose and what's standing in the way of it? Jesus chose his purpose over comfort. A few weeks ago, Jared shared a message on developing a passion for a clean heart. Say, God cannot dwell among an unclean people. So if God cannot dwell among an unclean people, how do we cleanse our heart so that he would dwell among us? Because that's what we want. We all want a closer walk with God, do we not? I'm convinced that the only thing standing between me and God is my own flesh, self. God has done his part. He's made the way, he's paid the price. But myself, my flesh stands in the way so many times. How do we get rid of it? How do we cleanse our heart? James 4:8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Double-minded. always being torn between comfort and purpose. I started working in an office, well, some time ago anyway, and as you can see, it has its effect on me. And I'm determined to be fit and healthy so I can live well for the rest of the days that God has given me. But it's hard. I find myself double-minded. I want to be healthy, but I want to come home in the evening and rest, not work out or exercise. I want to eat healthy, but I also want to eat ice cream. Who doesn't? It's double-minded. And we think, well, that's, you know, simple things of life that really don't matter. But I want to walk close with God as well. And yet I struggle sometimes to get up in the morning and spend time with him. It's double-minded. I don't like it. So how do we cleanse our heart? We like formulas and how-tos and five-step processes, don't we? Galatians 5, verse 24 says, "For those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." See, that's the only way the flesh will actually die, is if we crucify it. Even Jesus Christ had to die before he could be resurrected. So do we. So you want to walk with Christ? Crucify the flesh. And I think we have opportunities to crucify the flesh often. We just don't recognize them as such. You have an opportunity to do something for someone else, but you don't really feel like it because it's inconvenient or it's hard for some reason. Perfect. Recognize it as an opportunity. Go for it. Crucify the flesh. Do the hard thing. Go way out of your comfort zone. Drag the flesh and drag it to the cross, kicking and screaming the whole way if it wants to. Crucify it. Crucify the flesh and grow in grace. Allow God to show himself strong regardless of the circumstances. But the big old self just stands in the way, doesn't she? You know, Tim said that Martha Joy was created for a purpose. So were you. But we like comfort. Self likes comfort. Comfort is a state of physical ease and freedom from pain or constraint. Things that contribute to physical ease and well-being. Prosperity and a pleasant lifestyle secured by it. Comfort really means anything that feels safe or that you think you can handle on your own. Oh, I've got this. I can handle this. This feels pretty comfortable. Purpose, on the other hand, really doesn't care if you think you can handle it or how it makes you feel. Purpose usually means stepping outside your comfort zone. It can be anything from witnessing to a stranger to leaving your work, your family, flying halfway around the world to some place where they don't care about you, they don't even like you, and they might even kill you, but you go anyway. Purpose is almost always in direct opposition to comfort. Purpose involves sacrifice, hardship, pain, and fear. But especially fear. In fact, a lot of times, it's about 99% fear. Satan will do everything he can to keep you from your purpose, to keep you from fulfilling the purpose that God has for you. Think of the Israelites. We've been going through their whole story in Sunday school. It's been really interesting. God had a very clear purpose for them. God called them to go into the land of Canaan to clean out the giants. Instead, they choose the comfort of the familiar over the fear of the unknown of their purpose. And they wasted 40 years wandering around in a great big sand pit. Why? Think about it. They were afraid of a bunch of giants that God had already defeated. Think about it. Once they faced their giants and walked into the land of Canaan, they walked around a city, and what happened? The city fell down. They didn't do it. God did it. They walked into the battlefield, and God sent hornets to chase their enemies away. He sent a hailstorm and killed more people with hail than they killed with their swords. All they had to do was face their giants, and the giants fled. That's really all it takes. So it is with us, is it not? Many times, all we need to do is face our fears, and we will find that God has already delivered us in every situation. So I came across this story about a sailing ship the other day, and I don't know where the story comes from. I don't know if it's true or if it's just a parable, but you know, Jesus used parables too, so I guess I can too. So as the story goes, there was a ship that was being pursued by a pirate ship. So the captain put on all the speed he could, and yet the pirate ship was closing in. So this was a race for life. But then a cry went up, "Man overboard." Now, the captain knew that if he kept going, this man was going to die. He also knew that if he stopped and turned around, the pirate ship was going to catch up with him, and then there was a pretty good chance that they were all going to die. But he knew what the right thing was to do. So he gave the order, "Stop the ship." Now, to his amazement, when he stopped the ship, the pirate ship that was coming didn't close in. Instead, the pirate ship's captain said, "Wait a minute. He was convinced that the first captain had a plan, a trick, or something, so he actually veered off and left, took his chances somewhere else. Just by stopping and facing the pirate ship was enough to chase the pirate ship away. And so it is, isn't it? When we simply face our giants, we find that they have no power at all. So face them. Step outside your comfort zone. You know, comfort zones are beautiful places, but nothing really grows there, ever. I was listening to a podcast recently on Wilbur and Orville Wright and how they invented what we know of as flight, the way we know it, as actual human-controlled flight. And Orville Wright, after sitting on the beach and watching the birds fly, he said, "You know, no bird soars in a calm." That was the one truth that Wilbur and Orville Wright faced that enabled them to do what so many had died trying: take flight. Everyone else at that point, including the director of the Smithsonian Institute, who was paid by the government to figure this out, he couldn't figure it out. He said, "If we could take the winds completely out of the picture, then we could do it. But everyone said that the winds are too unpredictable, too powerful, and too dangerous." Yet it wasn't until man faced the force of the wind that he was able to rise above it. The very force that he was afraid of was the very force that carried him above his obstacles and to heights never before reached by man. So what are you afraid of? What would you like to do? You feel like it would be the right thing to do, like God has put something on your heart and you just can't let go of it, but fear is holding you back. fear of leaving your comfort zone. Choose your purpose over your comfort. Do you want to live completely in the fullness of God? I could probably answer that for everyone here. It's a pretty obvious question. We all want that, don't we? What are you willing to pay for it? Comfort or purpose? A lot of times when God puts a vision on our heart, we don't think we have what it takes. How many of you feel like you're some great person? Come on, don't be humble, just raise your hand. I've seen God do great things through some of you, so I know God thinks you're a great person. You don't agree with him? You don't feel like it, do we? And rightfully so. I don't necessarily think that we should, but we are a vessel for God's power. So think of the tabernacle in the wilderness. What did it look like? Did it look like something extraordinary or just average? You know, God had them cover that thing with badger skins. Why do you think he did that? The inside of it wasn't covered in badger skins. It was covered in scarlet and all kinds of colors, gold and things like that. But the outside of it just looked like any other big tent. Why didn't he show his glory on the outside? It just looked like any other large tent, normal. Nothing extraordinary here. There was probably bigger tents than that in the camp. And yet, the whole power of the universe was contained inside. So what's in you? What do you think that you could accomplish for God if you would hold nothing back? Think of our Sunday school lesson this morning. Barak was called of God. Why? Because Sisera was already defeated and God just needed somebody to walk it out. That's why. He wouldn't face the enemy unless Deborah went with him. Sisera had 900 chariots of iron. They were the newest, the greatest, the latest technology in warfare at the time, weren't they? They didn't know how to handle him. We could say that he was justified in his fear. I would have been terrified. And yet chapter 15 says that, and the Lord has delivered Sisera into your hand. The Lord did it. Who's the story about? Is it about Deborah and Barak, or is it about the Lord and Sisera? See, he writes the story, but he's looking for people to walk it out. The battle was already won before Barak even engaged the enemy. All he needed to do was walk in faith. But he did need to walk. Somebody needed to walk. Don't expect God to do great things while you just sit here in comfortable America. Now, I'm not saying God can't do great things in America, but while you sit in your comfort zone, wherever that might be. God has chosen to work through you. You know, Brother Timothy said that we want God to just work on our behalf, you know? But usually God will ask us to work out whatever he wants us to do in his strength. How much more can God do through us if we're willing to just believe? Set aside our own fears and doubts, like Seth said, and just believe. And then like Brother Tim said, the baby dedication. Let's dig in. Dig into the goodness of God. Just eat it. Take it. It's for you. The fullness of God is for you. Jesus did not come to give us a life of comfort. He came to give us a life of purpose. And now I'm looking at the clock and I'm thinking, if I don't watch it, we're going to have flying timepieces giving people concussions. Isn't that? John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Revelations also has a 3:16. Did you know that? Do you know what that one says? It says, "So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth." Let's not be like that. Let's be all in for Jesus. Choose purpose. Your comfort zone can actually be a very dangerous place. And places of comfort, places of ease and prosperity is where we forget how desperately we need God. Resurrection life is only found where? On the far side of the cross. Embrace the cross. Embrace the death of everything this world has to offer. Everything the flesh holds dear, drag it screaming to the altar and crucify it. James 1, 2-4 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, endurance. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." Choose purpose over comfort, and watch what God might yet do with you. Be like Jesus. Hebrews 12, 1-2 says, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." I don't know what God is calling you to do. I don't know what your purpose is in life, but God does. Find out. Seek him. Find out what the one thing is that he wants you to do, and do it with all your heart.